18th of February, with Sarah, Jonathan, Knowing, Azita, Sukin, Ivan, Nancy, Betty, Nina, Vince, Peter, and Elle.
Talking to Khun Su Chin about Survey of Parramatta Dhammas, the book, and she had mentioned that she herself organized the chapters and the sequence and talked about how it's not just enough to, for example, read one chapter about cheetahs and cheetah seekers and rupas, but one needs to have all the details in order to have a good foundation, and this is what she had in mind when she organized the book. Would you like to say a little bit more about this foundation and how you selected the chapters or decided what to include in the book?
I think that the most important thing is the understanding, the very firm foundation of understanding reality. Otherwise, when we read from here and there and have no firm foundation or firm understanding of what we are reading, then we might have our own idea about what we are reading. For example, when we talk about Dhamma, just Dhamma, if we don't have the clear idea that Nama is reality, which is now appearing, it's useless to just read about something that does not appear at this moment. But when one knows that reality is appearing now, and there is no understanding at all about reality right now, then when we come to the word Dhamma, we can know that this is Dhamma, a reality which is real at any moment. Instead of just reading about the term citta, cetasika, or rupa, and don't know that now, one rupa is appearing through one doorway, different from other doorway. And if you don't have the idea about different types of citta, then we just think about the citta that we can know, like kusala and akusala, very vaguely. And there's no way to see that it's conditioned. And it's so amazing how it comes to be such and such, kusala or akusala. For example, right now, after seeing, then what? No idea at all. If there is no understanding about the succession of one citta to another citta by conditions, and before there can be the kusala or akusala after seeing, there are also other cittas in between too. That's why we can understand how Dhamma is not self at all.
So hearing and understanding more in order to appreciate more the anattaness of all Dhammas.
You mentioned then the conditioned nature of Dhammas. Do you think at beginning level of understanding as we are that this can be directly understood in any way, or do we just know that by thinking?
Not only that level. It's not enough to know just that. It cannot eradicate the idea of self at all. For example, even right now, we can understand that a reality cannot stay at all. It arises and passes away in succession rapidly. It doesn't help the elimination from the idea of taking the seeing for self, or the thinking for self. That is not enough, never enough.
But the rapid arising and passing away in succession, we don't actually directly experience, do we?
Even right now, no understanding of the characteristic of Nama as different from Rupa is not yet. So how can we think about that? Can the Nama be known just by hearing that Nama is that which is now experiencing an object?
Sorry, could you say that again?
Can the characteristic of Nama be directly known when there is the understanding that which sees is Nama? That is not enough at all. Just by hearing that, it's not the moment of seeing or understanding the Nama as Nama. So it's the gradually develop the understanding of reality, from hearing and considering and hearing and considering until it grows to be the conditions for direct awareness, to be aware and understand reality right now. If it's not the understanding of reality right now, it's impossible to eradicate the idea of self, because what postpone, what delay, and what get over this moment, if it's not lobha, clinging, and avijja.
You've referred several times, or you often talk about being in a dream world. Sometimes when we refer to dreams, we talk about dreams when one's asleep. Sometimes we refer to dreams as the concepts we live in our world of thinking, in the world of stories and dreams. And sometimes I think you refer to dreams as referring to all realities. So when we talk about living in the world of dreams, are you usually referring to the world of concepts that we're lost in, or are you referring to how all realities are dreams at this moment?
What world are we living in now?
Most in stories about...
So, it will be like this forever, when there is no understanding of any characteristic as just a reality, arising and falling away. Then one realizes that at the moment is the world of dream world. Because thinking a lot about that which arises and falls away, and where is it after it has fallen away, never come back.
So by understanding the dream world we live in as being a dream world, then we can learn to appreciate dhammas as dreams, because they arise and pass away.
If there is no understanding, one does not realize that one is in the dream world at all. Even what is the previous reality, completely gone. Yeah. The whole life is a dream world, from life to life. In the dream, we felt very pleasant sometimes and unpleasant sometimes. We take it as very important moment, like now, very important moment. Actually, it's gone. So it's nothing as important as what we think. This is the beginning of becoming detached from dream world, because one realizes that there is nothing, no self, only the elements of nama and rupa arising and falling away by conditions.
So maybe we came here because at least we are dreaming a little bit less.
Whenever there is direct awareness, it's not thinking about hardness, thinking about book, thinking about cookies, but it's the moment of understanding a characteristic which is so real, but just for a moment and pass away. It's real when it arises and then it's gone. We'll be this person only in this life. So it's like a dream to be this person.
And yet we identify ourselves with this person only, so there's no understanding of there being just a succession of dharmas.
Keep on thinking what we were in previous life and what we'll be in next life.
Right.
You mentioned keep thinking about self or taking it for self, but it's not just taking for self, but also taking objects for being something as well. So when you say, oh, always taking it for self, you mean self and some things as well.
Concepts
as well. And the other day you were saying, when there's not understanding of visible object, it's something all the time. But most of the time it seems that it's just ignorance arising. So to say when it's not understood as visible object, it's something, seems to make it either a understanding or wrong view. But what about all the many moments of ignorance when there's no taking it for being something, but there's no understanding either?
Wrong view arises and falls away so fast.
Yes.
Lopa arises and falls away so fast. Everything arises and falls away so fast. We just imagine that we have experienced a reality, but actually, when it's not direct awareness, it's only thinking whether it is this or whether it's that, whether it is wrong view or whether no wrong view, whether it's lopa or so on, or seeing. Who can tell whether lopa or seeing right now?
Okay, only understanding. Mm-hmm. Coming back a little bit to what we were discussing the other day, what Jonathan and Ivan were asking about with regard to the cookies and how attachment is often classified in the texts as under this is mine, this is I am, this is myself, with lobha, with conceit or wrong view of self. The last one refers to sakayaditi, or to all kinds of wrong view. Because I'm wondering, when we say that all attachment is included, if it's just sakayaditi, what about other kinds of wrong views, such as taking the glass for being something?
Mana is not wrong view.
No.
So mana is mana, and wrong view is wrong view, and lobha is lobha.
But here, when we, in the definition, this is myself, does this include all kinds of wrong view, or just sakayaditi?
One at a time, whether it's lobha or mana or ditti. That's why ditti does not always arise with lobha, and mana does not always arise with lobha.
Right. In the classification, when it says this is myself, it's not just referring to sakaya ditti, wrong view of self, but any kind of wrong view that
this
may arise.
This is I, this is mine, and this is self.
Could you explain a little more about the difference between conceptualizing objects as objects with or without wrong view? As I understand it, having the concept of an object is not necessarily with wrong view, because the Arahant conceives of things as objects too. But he does so without wrong view.
That's why there can be a right understanding of wrong view only when wrong view arises.
I see. But I'm trying to find out when wrong view is arising in the first place. But
if it doesn't arise, how can you find it?
Mm-hmm. But how can I know it when it does arise?
What we are talking about, like citta, cetasikas, and rupa, cannot be known unless there is right awareness, direct awareness. For example, we are talking about hardness. At moment of seeing, can hardness appear?
No.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So there can be the study or the understanding of reality when direct awareness is aware of a characteristic.
That sounds from what you're saying there, that awareness of wrong view is still some distance away yet.
Like other realities, because arise and falls away in split seconds, never come back. So how can you pinpoint which one, which moment? Like this moment, lobha or seeing.
Unless you have awareness of the different sense doors in the mind door, for example, then how could there be awareness of different cetasikas?
Different rupas, different namas.
Right. Well, there must be rather strong wrong view arising. Why isn't that more apparent?
Because it's wrong. Yeah, it's gross. If you have the other belief, the wrong belief, very firmly, that speech, their deeds show up, and one realizes that it appears. It's motivated by wrong view.
So wrong view must be different from all the other factors, because when there's strong dosa or strong attachment, it's more obvious, but when there's strong wrong view, it's less obvious.
Can awareness be aware just of a strong characteristic or any reality?
Well, as it develops, I would have thought that there'd be more tendency for awareness of strong kilesa than subtle kilesa.
Does it depend on kilesa which follows, or the reality itself of which awareness is aware? For example, the sound, is it strong or not strong? Medium.
Right.
No expectation is the best thing.
So fair to say that if there was no knowing the difference between it's just sound and the sound of the aircon, it'd be fairly safe to say there isn't any understanding of the present moment. There might be theoretical understanding that it is sound, but there's some doubt about what I'm hearing. It'd be fairly safe to say that there's no understanding.
You'd like to call it, or you'd like to understand it, whether it's aircon or what.
Could you ask that again?
It's experienced already. Do we have to say what kind of sound it is?
No, we don't have to. But I hear it as an aircon.
As a sound?
Pardon?
As a reality? See the difference?
Well, as a sound.
It's not moment of direct awareness of sound as just a reality. It's the same, just the same. No direct awareness at all. So the beginning is the understanding, the moment with direct awareness. Otherwise, one cannot say that panya of that level develops at all. It's not panya, it's the same level of considering, hearing. We might think that something is developed, but actually no understanding at all. The development of understanding is the moment of understanding a characteristic of a reality right now, because there are only six doorways. So we can understand what is meant by ayatana, by tattu, because when awareness arises, when awareness is aware, the object must be tattu in its nature. And tattu is not just word in the book, because a characteristic is there for awareness, direct awareness to be aware. Right now, any object. It's so very simple, but it takes time to get used to such moment, which begins to develop bravely, courageously.
Yes, it does.
Not go
simple.
Away from it.
Especially when you say only six doorways.
Yes.
To be known.
Uh-huh. Yeah. More?
Which way can we be courageous?
Knowing the truth, that the truth is the truth. No matter you crave to understand it, to get it, to know it better and better, it's the not understanding it as it is when there is craving. And the moment without direct awareness and direct understanding of a reality.
So when we lack courage, we are inclined to want to do something else.
Mm-hmm. And the goal moves away and away and away.
So is it like accepting that there is no control over the arising of dhammas?
You don't?
Oh yes,
yeah.
I hear you saying.
Yeah.
Isn't it more because Ajahn, they're seeing of no self? Because that is what people fear sometimes, the idea that there's no self.
Just want to have it in a dream only. You have it in a dream, in the dream, but not in the truth. To dream that you still have self, you dream that you still have such experience, and you have again and again. It's only dreaming that there are such realities, not impermanent. But actually, since it arises so fast and falls away so fast, this is the meaning of impermanency. How long will you be in this dream? See? No one knows. And then you have another dream, different from this dream.
And then we dream about not being in a dream.
Like, we can have such dream tonight.
Yeah.
We are not in the dream.
Even the thinking about developing awareness, about not being in the dream, is also just another aspect of the dreaming.
Yes, because you just dream.
Yeah.
That you do this and that.
That's right.
So, in other words, thinking about the past or the future is dream.
When there's no direct awareness, no understanding reality as just reality, it's something and it's you all the time. While there's no you, no permanent reality, actually the arising and falling away of reality so fast, what is left is only nimitta, unknown at all, as nimitta.
I'd like to follow up from a question Azita asked the other day, which is a little bit technical, her one on Chakku Prasada Rupa, that's I sense, Rupa Vaivesa, I sense. So you were saying that, for example, when we're sleeping, Chakku Prasada Rupa rises and falls away, but there's no Chakku Prasada Ayatana, because there's no seeing, no contacting. So at moments of seeing, there is the coming together of the seeing, the visible object and the eye base, only when the eyes are open, of course. And I think her question was whether at moments of seeing, we know that the visible object has already arisen when seeing sees it. It's a little bit like shooting at an object that's sort of flying, and it's already started flying, and then it's contacted and the ayatanas come together, and at that moment there is seeing.